Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the big transformation that takes place. Just because you're born again doesn't mean you immediately and fully think like God. And so many times, especially if you were saved later in life, you have accumulated ways of thinking and believing that are wrong. And so that's why the scripture says you need to be renewed. There needs to be a change in how you think. Well, where does this come from? It comes from hearing from God. And thank the Lord for the Bible. Thank for Him for the anointed word and the teacher of the Holy Spirit. So say it out loud, Father God,
enlighten my eyes
of my understanding
and my heart.
Fill me
with the knowledge
and understanding
of your will.
I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we have been renewing our mind for some weeks now in the area of faith for provision, asking and answering the question, is abundant provision always God's will for us all? And we have decided it is. And why? Well, because we have seen scores and scores of scriptures of things that God said that reveal this and confirm this without question if you're open to hearing it. And so we're giving 30 reasons to prove this. Now we're giving 40 reasons, and we're down to reason number 30 in our study. Go with me again to Acts, the fourth chapter, Acts chapter 4. We're down to reason number 30, and we're calling this reason the beginning days of the church. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because we see Him providing complete an abundance for all of the people in His church in the beginning days. Well, He didn't change a century later or three centuries later. Men change. People get away from God. People come up with their own ideas and strategies, but God didn't change. Amen. And thank the Lord for the book of Acts, yes, so we can look and see how this thing started. And know we should be seeing the same kind of things today. Same Holy Spirit,
yes.
Same name of Jesus,
yes.
Same gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God certainly hadn't changed. So it should be the same church that we read about in these pages. Well, in Acts 2, we saw that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We see by the end of that chapter that there was this wonderful generosity that all of them were together, unity, and that none of them were saying that their things were exclusively mine, but that they had things together and were sharing and ministering. And in Acts 4, he brings it up again, similar kind of thing. Reading in verse 32, it said, "The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul." Now, a few classes back, we talked more about unity. And we even went over to 1 Peter, the third chapter, and read and talked about how that the Bible tells wives to be respectful and value and treat their husbands right. And it tells husbands to value and be respectful and treat their wives right. It says, lest, so that your prayers won't be hindered. What does that mean? It means if you're not treating each other right, and if you're yielding to strife, and you've got the environment of your home filled with these manifestations of evil things, of strife and yelling and fighting and all that stuff, your prayers are not going to work like they're supposed to. Your prayers will be hindered. So when we read about the amazing abundance that all the church was experiencing, everybody's needs were being met, it was preceded by the unity. Class, are y'all with me on this? Don't rush past the unity. The enemy knows this better than most Christians. And he knows if he can get strife in your midst, and you will yield to it, and yield to, if you start yielding to it and don't stop, it will get worse. Proverbs talks about that strife in the beginning of it is like a crack in a dam. How many understand if you got a dam that's holding back a lake of water, and you're driving by and you see something spewing out and you see a little tiny crack? How many understand you do not get your sledgehammer and a chisel? Are y'all with me or not? That's what you don't do. And you go, where's that hole at? Let me see. Where's that hole at? Boom. Oh, yeah. It's spewing bigger now. Boom. That's like an absolute fool. Yes. And you know that's exactly what people do. When the Bible says the beginning of strife is like when water is first starting to come out of a dam. If you're wise, you don't make it worse. You stop it, right? You stop it before it gets worse, right?
Right.
And he talks about, you know, meddling with strife that's got nothing to do with you. He says it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. This is a dog you don't know. This ain't your dog. And you go over and grab his ear. How many know that is how you get bit? Is there, that's how you get bit? What do you mean? Not your dog.
That's right.
Right? Leave the dog alone.
Yes.
Now we're laughing, but you'll find people actually barge into things that's none of their business and you know, give their 2 cents and make it worse. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, they're in their face and in their back, and then that's how it turns into a fist fight and everything else. I had a young man who I taught years ago in Bible school. He was the funniest guy. And yet some of his stories, you just could hardly believe. He said he preached on some things. He was a young guy, young preacher, pastor, and he just got started, and he had no word in him. And he said he preached some things, and he could tell some of the people didn't like it. And he said, what? You don't like it? You don't like it? Meet me out in the parking lot. I said, you didn't. He said, I did. Well, I'm not going to say that, because some people will meet you out there, right? Now, we're laughing, but it ain't funny. Because if you yield to it, that's how the devil deceives, divides, and destroys. How many marriages could have been saved? How many relationships between siblings and parents could have been saved? How many relationships between co-workers could have been saved? Between fellow Christians, our fellow ministers could have been saved. I know something that was a humorous thing. I travel quite a bit and minister in other churches and places. And some years ago, I accepted an invitation and went to a place, a small town and small church. And the brother that was with me, when I got off the plane, I said, you know, I don't really know why I'm here. And I thought he was going to fall out, because he never heard me say anything like that before. And I said it because I knew there was something missing about my understanding. And so we spoke there, and services went good. And after the service, back in the pastor's study, he said, "Brother Keith, maybe I should tell you something that is relative here." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Myself and another pastor here in town had a falling out. And we didn't speak for years." And he said, "It was hard things said and hard things done." And the thing about that is, a lot of times if that happens, then people around each one take sides.
That's right.
Can you see that? And it just expands. And now these don't like these because these like him and these like him. So they take sides and it's split. But anyway, he said he was praying one day in his study, and the Lord said that he said the Lord asked me to contact this guy, this pastor, and ask him to forgive him. And he said he knew it was the Lord asking him, and so he humbled himself and he called him, and he said, "I was wrong. I said some things. I did." And he said, the man interrupted and said, "No, I was wrong. I said some things." And so they said, "Let's meet." And so they met, had a wonderful time. Both of them repented. They said the presence of God came in the room, this man had gone over to this other brother's place, and so after the meeting, he said he was walking across the parking lot, and he said, "Lord, thank you." And he said the Lord said to him, "Thank you." And he said the Lord said, "What can I do for you?" Oh, yeah. And he said, for some reason, he said it just came out of my spirit. He said, "I'd like Brother Keith to come to my church and have a meeting with me." I said, "You went over my head. You went right over my head." Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And that's something he wanted for that time. But can you see how the enemy has robbed people? What if he hadn't done that?
Yeah.
Well, then the whole meeting that we had wouldn't have happened. And how many other things wouldn't have happened? If they hadn't had the unity, would they have had the manifestations of the Spirit that follow in the next verses? Are all of the abundant provision? Come on, provision. Can you see this? Somebody say unity.
Unity.
Unity of the Spirit. Unity of the faith. Not unity of doctrine. We're never all of us going to agree on every point of doctrine. You're not talking about that. And none of us are perfect in doctrine. All of us, there's some holes in what we know and what we think. But we can agree, all of us can agree, Jesus is Lord.
Oh, yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. The gospel is the big thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We can agree. We can agree that the New Testament commandment is to love each other like He loves us. Now notice it goes on to say, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This was not just a financial material thing in these verses. This is spiritual, first and foremost, but it has an impact, an effect on the financial. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, I've seen in a number of services where people have brought up money and things and offerings during the teaching and preaching of the word and set it down at the feet. I don't think that's exactly how it happened. I don't think that they would have been interrupting them ministering the word or ministering by the Spirit. There's any number of ways that could have happened. And you got to watch about doing things in front of a crowd, right? So you can be seen. people can see that you're doing. This is not about being seen.
Amen.
In fact, just a couple of verses later, chapter 5, is Ananias and Sapphira, right? Who did it to be seen and were judged on the spot. One thing you got to see about this, you know, like we'd mentioned in times past, some have taken these verses. They had all things common. They had all things common. And you'll see people try to use that as justification for socialism or communism and what they call redistribution, which is basically taking it from people that have it and redistributing it to people who didn't have it, supposedly. But that is not what was happening here. Somebody said, well, yeah, that's what he said. No. This was not something a government did. There was no taxation involved. There was no requirement involved. This is not something that the leaders of the church were requiring people to do. There was no requirement. People were doing this by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, can you see this? That's the only way that this kind of thing works. You're here in chapter 4, like we said, chapter 5 is talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And what happened is people were selling houses, selling property, lands, and then bringing the money into the church. And ever how they were doing it, they were putting it under the control of the leadership and trusting them to distribute it where it was needed and how it was needed. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a possession. But then it was too much money for them to give all of it. And so they kept back part of it, but they came and presented it like they were given all of it. And they lied. And the Bible said that chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit to keep back part of the price of the land? Verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? Somebody say your own.
Your own.
And after it was sold, huh?
Yeah.
You had already vowed, so there was no turning back. No. After it was sold, was it not in your own power? Can you see very clearly, plainly here? Nobody's making him and her do this. Nobody required. Why did they do it? They saw other people do it. And they saw how respected it was. And they wanted the respect, but weren't willing to do it. The same. Come on, can you see that? And how many times do you see that? People want the blessing, but are not willing to obey. They want the benefits, but they're not willing to do it. And that's where you'll see all kind of bad things happen. But no, nobody's requiring. He said, before it was sold, while you had it, while it remained, was it not your own? It was yours. What does that mean? You could have kept it.
Yeah.
Nobody told you had to sell it. And then after it was sold, what about it? Was it not in your own power? Leadership is not making them do this. The government is not making them do this. This is not taxation. This is not requirement. So this has nothing to do with these ungodly governments that have oppressed people in different parts of the world. And it is such a devilish thing. It sounds good. Everybody's going to be okay. And then they take things. They take properties and monies from people. And some way or another, it just kind of stays with them. Huh? I mean, decades go by. And the poor just get more poor. And the money stays with these people in charge in these ungodly governments. No, this has got nothing to do with a form of civil government. This is holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit filled. Holy Spirit directed. Holy Spirit guided. Holy Spirit wisdom. And Holy Spirit directed and anointed leadership to know what to do with these funds and handle them the right way when they are sown. Look at 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, actually, the 8th chapter. And boy, this 8th and 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians is so rich in talking about offerings and these kind of things. If you haven't read it, read it carefully. It's talking about one of the central themes is an offering that they were putting together for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And that these different churches in Macedonia, and now he's talking to the churches in Corinth that are getting involved in this big offering to help minister to these people who were in physical need. This was years later than the first point we were talking about. But anyway, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8, talking about the offering, I won't go through all the first of it, but he said, verse 7, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Is there grace for the financial part of our life?
Yes.
And for giving?
Yes.
And offerings? There is. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He was very clear, and the NIV says it like this, I am not commanding you. Did you hear that phrase?
Yes.
I am not commanding you. Now, he is their apostle. He is the one that led the first ones of them in that city to the Lord. He is their father in the faith. But one thing, and he's telling them about this offering, and he's told them about the churches in Macedonia. That'd be the Philippian church and Thessaloniki and those places. He said, man, they're all in on this, and I told them that you guys wanted to be too. And he's talking, but in the middle of it, he says, I'm not commanding you. I am not commanding you. This is about your love. And it's about your care for them. And notice again in the 9th chapter, that's the 8th chapter. And then in the 9th chapter, this has been written. That's a combination of written and read. just made a new word there. Look at that. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. This wasn't written in chapter and verse. This is all together. He said, every person, according as he or she purposes in their heart, so let them give, what? Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Now see, if you got no choice, that's necessity. You have to do it. And that's where also it could come in some grudgingly. Right? It's like, you're required to do this. And so you could drag your feet about it and go, I don't think I can afford this right now, or whatever the case might be. And the Spirit of God, through Paul, is saying, not like this. I am not commanding you, and you must not do it with a grudge, and you must not think you have to, that it is necessary for you to do this. That's why you'll find the phrase, even in the Old Testament, many times, free will. Free will offerings. What does that mean? Nobody's making you. Nobody's twisting your arm. Nobody's trying to shame you or beat you into it. That's not God. I said, that's not God. And none of that was happening when he's describing people being filled with the Spirit, and they just became more spiritual and grew to the point where they saw money and things differently than the world sees them, right? And when you know who your source is, You're not afraid to turn something loose because you know it's not the end. There's more coming. Is that right? Freely I've received, freely I give. My wife Phyllis and I, we've been living like this for decades now, and we have more than we've ever had, and we've given away more than we ever thought we would. It just keeps increasing. People say, well, you can't outgive God. Actually, if you obey God, you can't sow more than He can multiply. Huh? It's all about obeying Him. And it's about doing it with the heart. You're doing it because you love Him, because you respect Him, and because you care about people. Raise a hand and say, Lord, that's me. I love You.
I love
Your people.
Everything I have.
Everything You will give me. Is available to You. I want to please You and be a blessing. Thank You for making it so. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's all of our time for today. We'll see you next time in Faith School. I've sure enjoyed being with you again this week. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's will is abundance? We talked about how generous the people were in the early days of the church. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And let me encourage you about your tithing and giving offerings. You want to take that before the Lord and do exactly what He directs you to do on that. What you don't want to do is nothing. Because the scripture says if you hold on too tightly, the proverb says that tends to poverty. But the liberal soul will be made fat and rich. Father, I pray over all of our partners and those that are joined to us. Reveal to us all our priorities and the commitments and what we should do as an ongoing way of life in our giving, in our tithings and offerings, so that we don't do nothing, but we do fully what You would that we should. And because You said if we'll do that, our storage places would overflow and things would burst out and You'd open the windows of heaven. You said abundance would follow. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. I'm believing that for you. I'm expecting it. We'll see you soon. Back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390